Your usefulness to Christ will in large measure depend on how you navigate the quitting points of life.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, what are these quitting points in life?
Well, it's any point at which you're tempted to give up on something that God has called you to do. And they come often in life. You know, anyone who's begun a course of study, for example, there's some point where you think, oh boy, this is hard. And you're tempted to quit, to say, I'm just going to give it up. I'll go and do something that's easier. You know, in most marriages, or certainly in many marriages, there's going to be a point that will come where there is a real temptation to say, am I going to give up on this? Or am I going to stay the course with it? Am I going to renew my commitment to this? It's the same in any area of ministry. And you know what? In regards to our faith and our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, there are moments like that too. Jesus said to the disciples when many people left him, now, what about you? Are you going to leave me as well? And Peter wonderfully said, well, where else are we going to go?
Yeah.
Only you have the words of eternal life. So there are going to be quitting points in your life. There are going to be times in all of our lives where we are tempted to give up on something that God has called us to do. And here's the thing, that your usefulness to the Lord is going to depend on your pressing through the quitting points, staying with what God has called you to do, even though it's hard, and getting through the other side of that. God will help you, and His grace will be sufficient for you. We're going to see an example of that in Timothy's experience. There were many quitting points for him, but the usefulness of his ministry was he didn't quit. He pressed on in what God called him to do.
Well, let's take a look at that from the book of 1 Timothy. We're in chapter 1 as we begin this message, Perseverance in Life. Here is Pastor Colin.
We're continuing again our series on the life of Timothy, second last message in this series today. The title, as you know, is The Apostle's Apprentice, because that really describes Timothy's role. He was, over many years, an apprentice to the Apostle Paul, learned so much from him and contributed so much to the Apostle's ministry. And our aim in this series, as we've followed the life of Timothy, has been to improve our usefulness to Jesus Christ. Great question. How can I be more useful? How can we be more useful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Now, as we followed the example of Timothy, who became so wonderfully useful, we've seen that he was called into ministry at the age of around 20, early on in life. He joined Paul at the beginning of his second missionary journey, which would have been around the year AD 50. And I'm going to just take a couple of moments to give you a brief kind of chronology so you have a sense of where we are in the story. Dates, of course, are sometimes disputed by scholars, and being aware that we have some, I am following dates given by F.F. Bruce. And so if you want to dispute the chronology, please take it up with him when you see him in heaven. Following Bruce's dating, we would have something like this. Around the year 4950, Timothy joins Paul at the beginning of the second missionary journey. They then go to Philippi, Thessalonica, and then Paul, parting from Timothy for a time, moves on to Athens. You read about this as we did earlier in Acts chapter 16 and 17. Then later that year, the year 50 AD, just 20 or so years after the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, you have Paul writing the letters of Thessalonians. And Timothy, you remember, was sent then on his first assignment to Thessalonica. The next couple of years, 50 to 52, you find Paul and Timothy in Corinth. That's Acts chapter 18. The scriptures tell us that Paul spent a year and a half church planting in Corinth. Then he moves on to Ephesus around 52 to 55 AD. This is Acts 19 and 20. He was there for 2 years plus a further 3 months and perhaps some additional time alongside what is specifically recorded. You then have the writing of the Corinthian letters coming out of this period, 55, 56, and Timothy's second assignment to Corinth. Remember, the first assignment to Thessalonica goes really well. The second assignment to Corinth, really badly, at least for Timothy. After that, Paul is imprisoned. The scriptures tell us for 2 years he was imprisoned in Caesarea, and you can read about that in Acts chapter 23 through chapter 26. And then after that, there's this long journey in which Paul, and we assume Timothy with him, travel to Rome. It takes them months to get there. They're shipwrecked, winter in Malta, and all the rest of it. And finally, they end up in Rome, and Paul is in prison, and that's where the book of Acts ends, chapter 27 and 28. And it's then, as we saw last week, that Timothy is sent from Rome while Paul is in prison to Philippi on his third major assignment, where Paul commends him so warmly. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Now, if we roll forward from Paul's years of imprisonment in Rome, we're beyond the period of the book of Acts. And it is difficult to put all of the details together, but most scholars believe that Paul was released after that imprisonment in Rome and was able to travel further, though it's not recorded in the book of Acts. But certainly it is at this time that Timothy was in Ephesus and that these letters to Timothy that we're focusing on today and next week were written. And around the year AD 65, the Apostle Paul died, almost certainly martyred, and so Timothy now has to go on without his mentor. 65, if he began in 50, this is now 65, Timothy's now in his mid-30s and has been the apostle's apprentice for 15 years. So this is the story that we followed. He's taken responsibility, he's been through disappointment, he's grown to become the most useful member of the apostolic team. I have no one else like him, Paul says. But now when we come to these letters to Timothy, Paul is at the end of his life. 2 Timothy was the last letter that Paul wrote, and at the end of that, as we'll see next week, he speaks about being ready for his departure and entrance into the presence of Christ. So if you open your Bible now at 1 Timothy and chapter 1, you'll see here that we're really at the last stages of this wonderful partnership that Timothy has had with the apostle. And Timothy is now in Ephesus, and Paul is seeking to make more settled arrangements for the future of the churches and for their leadership, as he knows that his own time is now short. So chapter 1 and verse 3, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus." Now, this word urged is interesting. I urged you. It seems that there was a certain reluctance on Timothy's part. Ephesus was like Corinth. It was a tough environment for ministry, and it isn't hard to imagine Timothy saying, "Paul, you know, I think I should just keep traveling with you as you're moving on through Macedonia." And Paul says, "No, Timothy, what I need from you is I want you to stay here at Ephesus. I want you to settle. I want you to invest the next years of your life in pastoring these people so that the gospel can advance in this great city." And Paul says that he urged Timothy to stay. And Timothy evidently had agreed, and Paul had gone on to Macedonia, and now clearly there's been some communication from Timothy again, and Paul has to repeat his instruction. "As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus." This is an apostolic, "How many times do I have to tell you?" Right? And here's the principle. If you want to be useful to Christ, which is the whole focus of our series, you need to learn to persevere. And that's the issue for Timothy in his mid-30s. He's moved many places with the Apostle Paul, but Paul says, I need you now to settle to this task and to stick at it in order to bear great fruit in the work of the kingdom of Christ. Now, frankly, Ephesus wasn't an easy assignment for Timothy, and that becomes obvious if you've been following the reading plan. You will have covered this in 1 Timothy this week. But just to refresh your memory, if you just look very quickly through this letter, you will see there that in chapter 1, Timothy is concerned about the issue of defending the truth. In chapter 2, there's the whole question of ordering worship. In chapter 3, there's the whole question of choosing appropriate leaders. Chapter 5, the whole question of organizing ministry and the various demands that come from people who want, as it were, a slice of the resource pie. And in chapter 6, the particular challenges of dealing with people whose hearts have been captivated by money. On top of that, in chapter 4, Timothy has all of his own temptations to deal with. And so you can understand why, with all of that, there must have been points where Timothy was saying, Paul, I think I'm done here, and Paul says, no, you stay at Ephesus. So here's the principle that we're learning. Your usefulness to Christ will in large measure depend on how you navigate the quitting points of life.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Perseverance in Life. It's taken from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, and this message is part of our larger series, The Apostle's Apprentice, where we're taking a look at the life of Timothy, the apprentice of the Apostle Paul. And if you miss any broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
So here's the principle that we're learning. Your usefulness to Christ will in large measure depend on how you navigate the quitting points of life. That's true for all of us. And quitting points will come in every area of life. They come for every student at college. You remember that? They come to every marriage. It may not even be spoken, but thoughts flit through the mind. They come in every ministry. They come in your faith. And they may come, these quitting points, even in life itself. Remember Job's wife who'd been in church, as it were, every Sunday morning? Why don't you just curse God and die? And our lifetime usefulness to Christ really does depend in very significant measure on how we navigate the quitting points of life. It's very interesting to me that Timothy's 35 when this letter's written. See, by the time you're 35, your life is framed a little bit. There are some choices that you've made that have now put a kind of a box, it may seem, around you, and there can be a discomfort, a sort of midlife discomfort that comes at that stage, and questions, is this what I am? Is this what I'm meant to be doing? Did I make a great mistake? I mean, what in all the world am I doing here? Well, experience these things. And Paul is writing to this younger man with pastoral and practical counsel that really is critical for any life that is to have significant usefulness in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the difference between a lighthouse and a box of fireworks. A box of fireworks go off with a big bang and a big blaze, and they penetrate the darkness but fizzle out so quickly, and you walk through the darkness as you go home at the end of the fireworks show. The lighthouse is different. It just goes on shining for a very, very long time in the same place, shining the same light, saving many from hazardous rocks that are hidden beneath the water. Now, Christ says, let your light so shine before men. And if there's any light in you at all, Satan would love it to be like the fireworks. He'd love to see it fizzle out so that the darkness closes in again where you only made a temporary impression. But Christ calls us to be like the lighthouse, shining faithfully for a long time. Now, that's the issue that's before us, and you can see after these years of being mentored by Paul, and Paul is now very soon going to go and be with the Lord, this is the critical issue. Timothy, my young friend, you need to learn to persevere, and it starts by staying there in Ephesus. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, which is going to be our focus verse, in fact, both today and next Sunday. Because as we ask the question, what does it take then to persevere? What does it take to become like a lighthouse rather than a box of fireworks? How can you navigate the quitting points of life? It seems to me that all that Paul says to Timothy is summed up wonderfully in this verse, 1 Timothy 4:16. Watch your life and watch your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save yourself and your hearers. See, success in navigating the quitting points of life is not so much in what you do when you come to the quitting points of life, it's what you do all the rest of the time when you're not at the quitting points of life. Build a pattern of life, Paul is saying, that is designed for perseverance. And here's how you do it. You watch your life and your doctrine closely. These two things, your life, your doctrine, watch what you believe, watch how you behave, persevere in these things. And if you do, you will save yourself and you will save your hearers. Watch your life closely. 1 Timothy 4:16. Let's try and take this in for a moment. God commands you to watch your life closely. He commands it. It is your responsibility. It is my responsibility. And it is something that you can do. If you are a Christian believer, then God's Spirit lives within you. And that means that you have the ability to watch. It means you have the ability to act. God has put you in a position where you can take responsibility for your life. Now, this, of course, is the complete opposite of what the world teaches us today, isn't it? It really is the opposite. Because the culture tells us that you are a victim, tells me that I am a victim of whatever has happened to me, happened to you. But you don't find that in the Bible. You just don't. You just don't. See, if you are a Christian, you are not helpless. Is that good news or bad news? It's good news, isn't it? If you are a Christian, whatever the world says to you, you are not helpless. You are not powerless over the dynamics of your life. The Spirit of God lives within you if you are a Christian believer. And what that means is that you are in a position where you can take responsibility for your life. This is the characteristic language of Scripture. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. Have nothing to do with the godless myths, old wives' tales, and so forth. Rather, train yourself, chapter 4 and verse 7, to be godly. You have the ability to do that. Train yourself to be godly. There are things that you can do to pursue a godly life. Or 2 Timothy and chapter 1, 2 Timothy, just over the page, chapter 1 and verse 7. We'll blend these two letters together. They were written so close in time. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Timothy, the Spirit of God's power lives within you. There's no reason for you to be timid. Timothy, the Spirit of God's love lives within you. There's no reason for you to grow cold. Timothy, you have the spirit of self-discipline within you. There is no reason for you to be capitulating to sin in the manner that some do. God has put you in a position where you can act, and your first responsibility is to watch your life closely. Now, this theme of a Christian taking responsibility for himself, herself, for our own actions, for our own words, is characteristic of the whole of the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves, Paul says, to see whether you're in the faith. test yourselves. This is the same language as watching your life closely. Test yourselves. And then he says, do you not realize that Christ is in you? That's very interesting. You see, the fact that Christ is in you is the very thing that gives you the ability to examine yourself and to watch your life closely. Without Christ, you would not have the perception to examine yourself properly. But with Christ, you are in a position where you are able to watch your life and indeed your doctrine closely. Think of two men walking along the edge of a cliff. They are both in terrible danger. One man is in terrible danger because he is walking along the edge of the cliff and he is blind. The other man is in terrible danger because he is walking along the edge of the cliff and he has his eyes closed. They are actually in equal danger, but the tragedy of the second man is greater, isn't it? Because he has the capacity to see, and he doesn't use it. Now, you see, what the New Testament is saying to us is, look, you have the Spirit of God living within you. You have the capacity to see. So watch your own life. Examine yourself. Because if you do not do that as a Christian believer, you are the ultimate tragedy. You are the man who can see, who walks by the edge of a cliff with your eyes closed. Watch your life closely.
It's a good word of warning today, Pastor Colin Smith, with that reminder that we are to watch our lives closely. Our message is called Perseverance in Life, and it's part of a series called The Apostle's Apprentice, where we're taking a look at the life of Timothy, the apprentice of the Apostle Paul. And if you miss any broadcast in the series, you can come and listen online. It's openthebible.org, or you can order a copy of this entire series on CD. Ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365, or you'll find more information about this series at our website. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station because of your generosity. We truly are listener-supported. But as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's 24-day Advent devotional. Colin is called Waiting for the Lord based on Isaiah chapter 40, right?
This is one of the most marvelous chapters in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. Of course, the title, Waiting for the Lord, comes from the end of this chapter, where we have the marvelous promise that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But this great chapter begins with something very wonderful. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. That has really caught me. Speak tenderly. You know, we live in a harsh world with harsh words. And as God's people, we need to learn to speak tenderly to one another. And God speaks tenderly to us in the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's good news of his marvelous grace and of his free forgiveness. And you know, as we prepare ourselves again for Christmas and for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to focus on the gospel and on the tenderness of God towards us, there's something nourishing to the soul about that. So this is a chapter of the Bible that I just want to kind of bathe in preparation for Christmas. I found it so nourishing to my own life. And this little devotional, I hope, is going to be really nourishing for you too.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this devotional book, Waiting for the Lord, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online. Our website is openthebible.org, or call us toll-free at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. How can you make an impact for Christ over the long haul? The Apostle Paul gives us some good advice. Next time. on Open the Bible.